Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Marilyn Pittman. My guest is one of the funniest young out comics working today. Yeah, there are still many in the closet. She started in St. Louis and is best known as a writer and on-air correspondent on the FX series Totally Biased with W. Kamau Bell, produced by Chris Rock. Her recent festival appearances include the Bridgetown Comedy Festival, the Glasgow International Comedy Festival, South by Southwest in Austin, and SF Sketchfest, which is what brings her to San Francisco. Janine Brito, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thanks for having me, Marilyn.
Let's start with Totally Biased.
Yep, let's get into it.
Because it's a year and a half ago that it got canceled.
Yep.
It went for two seasons.
Rest in peace.
And it was like a black daily show, right? Black gay daily show.
It was, yeah. It was, I like to think of it as a very San Francisco daily show.
A San Francisco daily
show.
Yeah,
because it was.
Is that why it didn't get?
Yeah, I think so. This is a small town. It was because it was like a little bit of everybody. It was black people. It was Hispanic issues. It was trans issues. It was
Asian,
queer issues.
It was people of color and gays.
Everybody. And
it was
and
San Francisco style in
totally.
That sense.
And like very far left. Totally biased. Like we weren't afraid to say, yeah.
Well, so is Daily Show, but.
Yeah.
I see.
But I think it came from like Daily Show is very headline driven. I think we were more of like a macro like.
But
society.
It's produced by Chris Rock because he saw Kamau Bell's show in New York, the Kamau Bell Curve.
Yep.
And you were cast on it along with Guy
Branum,
who is a gay guy.
Yep.
And
the biggest gay of the county, as he likes to joke.
A very big guy.
Yeah.
And so what was it like for you to move your life to New York and do a TV show? All of a sudden, you're kind of not quite rich and famous, but you're getting famous.
Right. Famous-ish.
On cable.
Yep, on basic cable. It was good. I had been in San Francisco for a while, had been thinking about heading out, and sort of it lined up where I helped with a pilot. So while the show was kind of bubbling up to be on TV, I was ready. I was ready.
And you met Kamau here.
Yeah, I met Kamau here many
years ago.
Doing
stand-up?
Mm-hmm, doing stand-up stuff.
Many years ago. You act like you've been doing stand-up for 10 years, have you?
Is it about 10? I mean, I started right after college, so it's been a bit. It's been a bit a chunk of time, a chunk of my life.
That's a pretty high-pressure environment, Totally Biased.
But
First of all, it was once a week. Then it went to, in the second season, every
day. Daily, yeah.
And that is when it must have made everyone crazy.
We lost our minds.
You're like doing 10, 15-hour days, you're just like, that's all you did.
Well, it's like when we were weekly, we were already doing 10, 12-hour days because it was...
Because you wanted it to be great.
We wanted it to be great. It was, you know, we were a little ragtag team who had never done this before.
Right.
So we were learning on the spot, and
right.
It was sort of everyone's baby. And so then when we went daily, it was like 16 to 18-hour days.
But they added staff, no? Added writers?
I mean, they did, but, you know, I think we started out with a group of 8 writers in the first season, and they maybe added 3 the second season. So it wasn't, they didn't double us or anything.
Did you ever think you were going to fail at that? You know, like someday when he calls you out there and you're taping the show? I mean, I suppose you could retake the tape since it's taped.
Yeah, I wasn't live.
But still, it has a live audience and it has a live feel.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a balk?
Oh, every single person who worked on that show cried at some point behind the scenes. But I think it brought us closer together. I think the fact that we had never done it before made things more stressful, but it also made it seem more like family.
You know, sometimes
show.
When people are really stressed, I've been in show business for a while, and when people get really stressed, you can sometimes see the best of them and the worst of them.
Yeah, and we totally saw that in each other, which I think definitely brought us all closer.
She didn't get into fighting with each other necessarily. You just were stressed out.
Yeah, totally.
And was Kamau sort of Or was he stressed out?
He was totally stressed out. I would say, for me, the rock of the show was our head writer, Kevin Avery.
Very funny guy.
Yeah, super funny dude and cool as a cucumber under pressure and is like a very calming source. And
he's
working on John Oliver's show now in New York.
That's good.
So he's doing great things. Yeah.
That's great. And so was it crushing when it was canceled after 2 seasons? I mean, here's all your hopes and dreams and you've moved to New York and all of a sudden you don't have a job.
Yes and no. It was crushing in the sense that, you know, I wouldn't be in the same room with these people, but then I also wouldn't be in this thing that was killing me. And so, yeah, I think a lot of us were sad, but also some of, like, a lot of us were also like, oh, thank God that's over. Oh, I gotta go.
Well, because it leads to other things now,
totally,
right?
Totally, yeah.
You got a new management company.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You got, you know, you got a lawyer, you got bookings, you got,
I do,
you know, you're doing things, you're
succeeding.
I'm
in Los Angeles now.
You moved to L.A. Mm-hmm. because New York is why?
New York is brutal. New York almost killed me. The last day I was there, a guy almost hit me with his car. I had the right of way with a little green man crossing, and he almost hit me and then got out of his car and started cussing me out in my face. And at that point, I was like, oh, I don't have to do this.
It's a charming quality in humans when they're wrong and they blame you.
Yeah.
It's not a nice thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that could happen anywhere, just by the way. I mean, here in San Francisco, it's, you know, the zombie apocalypse in terms of pedestrians. So
totally.
Don't get me started on pedestrians in San Francisco.
But New York also has snow and rat poop everywhere. So I was like, get me out of here. I need palm trees with my anger.
Well, and you grew up in Miami.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm from Miami, Florida.
So you wanted it a little bit warmer.
Mm-hmm.
So, tomorrow, Friday the 23rd, you're part of San Francisco Sketch Fest mm-hmm. at Brava Theater in the Mission District. This show tomorrow night is called Dudes Being Dudes Being Dudes. It's a stand-up showcase with a twist. Tell me about it.
Dudes Being Dudes Being Dudes is a show in New York run by my old roommate, Katie Campa, who is also originally from SF, and her cohorts, Lauren Maul and Calvin Cato. And it's essentially women and gay dudes impersonating really douchey straight male comics. So, like,
every comic knows. Every woman comic and every
yeah.
of color comic and every gay comic
yeah.
knows this guy.
Yeah.
These straight dudes that get up and think they're funny and they're mediocre comics, but
mediocre
they get rewarded
best.
With careers and we don't know why.
Yeah. And so we just kind of put on those characters and get to.
So you're dressing up.
Yep. Oh, I got a mustache.
As straight dudes, uh-huh. and then you're going to tell straight dude like jokes, like the kind mm-hmm. of jokes that they tell.
Yeah,
and is it improv or is it
no,
part of the audience?
Well,
part of it.
Some people do it differently. Some people write a script and a character, and some people write the character and feel it out when they're on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm prepped. I'm prepared. But then it's also like we all kind of talk to each other, and it becomes a fun thing where we kind of get to get out these frustrations with these dudes.
So that's tomorrow night at Brava Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Got to support Brava in the Mission here in San Francisco. You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. My guest is comic Janine Brito. She's best known for her work on Kamau Bell's Totally Biased show on TV. She's part of Sketchfest. You can find her at Janine Brito, BRITO.com. You can follow her on Twitter and follow me, Marilyn Pittman, Janine Brito. Just follow
us. Just follow us. It's our names.
Let's go.
It's easy.
Pretty lucky to get our
get
names.
Get on board.
You know, I know Ron Howard is real Ron Howard. He couldn't even get Ron Howard. All right, I'm done.
he's the most powerful redhead in the world. How did he not?
I don't real ginger Ron Howard. I don't know. Let's listen to Janine Brito now. This is from Totally Biased. This is a clip about the first National Basketball Association star, NBA star, Jason Collins.
Okay, Janine Brito, everybody. Janine Brito.
Jason Collins, I'm really happy for you. You did a brave thing coming out of the closet. But on the other hand, big deal! Dykes have been doing this for decades. Billie Jean King and Martina Navratilova lost out on tons of endorsement deals being out athletes over 30 years ago. Think of all the flannel tennis skirts and, like, cat health insurance they could have sold. And in the WNBA, you've got Cheryl Swoops, Brittany Griner, and anyone who's ever played in the WNBA. WNBA might as well stand for Wad and Nuzzle Breasts, anybody? Lesbians are the Marines of gay rights. We're the first. We storm the beaches, we dig the trenches, we adopt any brown kids we might have displaced, and we still have time to write an acoustic folk song about it. Then, gay guys suddenly saunter in like the Navy, wearing their cutesy little outfits, having a grand old time spreading seamen everywhere. Screw you, gay Navy. Everybody's always like, LGBT, LGBT. Listen, there's a reason it's L, then GBT. So let me remind you, using the words of our great patron Saint Beyonce, and ask, who run the world? Girls.
It's quite fun. Janine Brito here.
I hate the sound of my voice. Well, I sound like a child.
You're going to have to get over that, girl.
I know. Ah,
you sound funny, and it's just a funny take. You know, you're just outrageous in your own sort of mainstream way.
Yeah, I play angry. I'm not really that angry. but yeah, that was fun.
And it's a bit naughty, you know.
Yeah.
You're a bit naughty in your persona. You know, you're pushing the envelope a little bit here. I mean, you're no Ellen, right? Ellen's nothing controversial there. And you're not controversial, but, you know, the thing we're going to hear next, the Kate Middleton thing, that's really out on the edge. It's pretty naughty. Yeah, we're going to play that.
Okay.
Well, it's NPR, I mean.
Oh, yeah, for NPR, yeah. For NPR, it's
scandalous. Now, we're growing. We're learning.
All right.
We're trying to develop a sense of humor and some sex appeal. Here in public radio. Janine Brito is my guest here on Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. Let's go right to it. It's a naughty monologue of yours. It's from Totally Biased as well, the TV show featuring our very own, San Francisco's very own, Kamau Bell, produced by Chris Rock, and had 2 seasons. It ended about a year and a half ago, and Janine is here in San Francisco with SF Sketchfest. You can find her on Twitter at Janine Brito and at JanineBrito.com. Now, this is about the Kate Middleton photo flap from about a year and a half or so ago. Let's listen to that.
Topless photos of Duchess Kate Middleton were snapped by paparazzi and published in Europe. Now, as a married man, I don't feel comfortable commenting on this. So to speak on this story, we have Totally Biased own Janine Brito. Everybody, Janine Brito!
I'm a proud feminist, and I have to say that I am enraged by the gross invasion of privacy surrounding Kate Middleton's photos. And as a lesbian, I have to say, can't believe that jerk climbed into the bushes with a telescopic camera. Not cool. Not cool. But, girl, you are rocking my vajayjay like an Indigo Girls concert. Bringing me much closer to fine. But I'm sick of people blaming you. You were on a private property in France. Where else can you get naked but I'm on a private property? And where else are you supposed to get some sun on your tatas but in France? Kate, let's go to France. As a woman, I will stand by you as you stand up for your right to privacy. As a gay, I'll stand by you, behind you, beneath you, betwixt you. Whatever. I will choke that dude for doing that to you, and I will choke you if that's what you're into. And if you want to throw on a chef's hat and choke my, oh my God, what have I become? Look, guys, as a feminist, I hate it when women are objectified, but as a lesbian, sometimes my lady boner gets out of control, and I objectify women myself. It's hard being both. Kate, some a-hole used tactics that should put anyone in jail and then shared that violation with the world, and that's not okay. But when I'm alone, and it's just me and my computer, I'm gonna look at your shabadoos. Just keeping it real. So, Kate Middleton, I'm really happy you sued the pants off those dudes. And as far as being a gross, flawed human being, sorry. My bad.
Pushing the envelope here on Out in the Bay with Janine Brito. We're pushing the envelope.
Are we going to get fined for the word vajayjay on the air and
if
lady boner?
Saying it, we
oh,
might.
Oh, no.
You're so bad. For a feminist, you're kind of a sexist.
I am, a little bit.
I mean, that's a brand new idea, not in necessarily within our community, but publicly, to be an out comic and to be an out lesbian comic and to say you're a feminist and then to be, like, you know, being sexual about a woman.
I'm you know, my lady boner's always with me. Like,
okay,
I'm gonna
will you stop it.
I'm gonna,
okay, you need to stop this.
I'm gonna have lecherous thoughts, but I think the big thing in that, this is based off a bit of my stand-up, actually, about Christina Hendricks.
Christina Hendricks from Mad Men.
Yeah, she. That
okay, I don't know if I want to go here.
But like the idea that I understand what it's like to be a woman, but I'm also into women, so I get those urges. But the difference is, like, since I know what it's like to be a woman and have stuff said to me by people that I don't want it said to me by, I don't walk around saying to women.
It's comedy.
Yeah, it's
we got a creative license here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, totally.
So let's talk about your stand-up career. You've been out the whole time, right?
For the most part, I think the first year and a half, I was not because I didn't come out myself for the first 6 months.
Have you found it difficult? I mean, I know you've been in New York and you're on the TV and in LA and, you know, in San Francisco, it's different. Then have you been discriminated against or heckled or been felt unwanted in any kind of comedy gig because you're gay?
Yeah, definitely. In the beginning, I started out doing comedy right after college in St. Louis, Missouri, and did a lot of road work out in the Midwest. And I used to do a thing
like 10 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, 30 years ago.
I'm just thinking about the times
we're
living in and what was 10 years ago and how things
have
changed.
Yeah. And then also the part of the country. I mean, there's still, you know, places you go to now, like in the deep south.
Where you can't be out.
Where, yeah, you can't be super out. But I remember at first I used to wait until the middle of my set. Like, the whole idea was like...
Like we did 20 years ago.
Like, you wait until you win them over, and then you're like, surprise, I'm the devil. And then they already like you, so they can't lynch you.
That's what we used to do. We used to be like, were you going to wait until they like you and then say it? And it was, or did you just start with that? Because we're talking about 91,
right.
92.
Right.
This is during the AIDS crisis.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, trying to get on Evening at the Improv with Bud Friedman, performing at the Improv in L.A., performing in New York, trying to, you know, push the envelope and be true to ourselves as comics. Scott Capurro and I and a few other people trying to see if we could be accepted. And it was, you know, several years before Ellen came out in 97.
And so Ellen, for her career, did the whole thing, let me win him over before I tell him. In her,
well,
she had her show. She came out on her show, so she kind of...
Right, and she'd been a stand-up for a long, long time.
Yeah.
But her work is, you know, her material was never... It was like Seinfeld, it was never personal.
Right.
Mine is always so ridiculously personal.
Yeah.
And I just think it's interesting to try to, that, you know, people are surprised when I say, even in San Francisco, we'd have, are you going to come out? Are you going to be out tonight? When are you going to come out in the middle of the set? Mm-hmm. And I just started writing this joke about lesbian haircut. I have lesbian haircut number 4. And then that just was sort of a way to talk about
it. To get into it, yeah.
To try to, you know, and each comic had their own little way to do it.
Yeah,
but for the most part, you've been successful being an out comic, and now that you did Totally Biased for 2 seasons... In New York in 2012 and 13.
Yeah.
Now the road is paved for you.
A little bit. I mean, I was out way before then in my state. I mean, I dress like Warren Buffett. I wear a suit and tie everywhere I go, so it's a little hard to hide it.
You wear
anymore.
A bow tie.
I wear a bow ties and ties and sweater vests. I dress like an old businessman, essentially. So
from the 60s.
I'm from the 60s. So I'm out before I open my mouth. But certainly it's much easier now, like, especially now, current day, present day now.
Yeah, 2015.
Yeah, 2015.
Not 2005.
Right. It's...
Or 1991.
It's rare. Like, I would be surprised now if anyone did have a problem with me. That's the rare point. I'd be like, really? Still? All right, buddy. Like, get it together. Like, jerks are the outliers.
You can follow Janine at Janine Brito on Twitter and me at Marilyn Pittman and our radio show at Out in the Bay. And remember, you can also be a sponsor of our show and get your name on the air. Yeah, if you give over $100, just go to our website, outinthebay.org, and hit donate. My guest is Janine Brito, comic. You're listening to Out in the Bay. Do you think that some of these comics, like Amy Schumer, comes to mind, Sarah Silverman, Lisa Lampanelli, in the last 10 years, and Amy Schumer just more recently, really, and of course, Joan Rivers kind of is our godmother, pushed the envelope about what women can say.
Oh, absolutely.
And it sort of paved the way for women to be able to say everything that they want to say. There's like no holds barred anymore.
Some
of the things that each one of those three women have said about sex, about men, about, you know,
anything
body processes with Sarah.
Yeah. Totally. I think they totally paved the way. I think, you know, for straight female comics, they paved the way for women to be a little more gross. Because I think, you know, out really butch lesbian comics, we've always had a pass as far as being a little more masculine with the way we speak and what we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But I think across the board, especially Sarah Silverman and Amy Schumer with their shows, they've kind of combined, you know, I can be gross and laid back, but also I'm a woman and I'm a feminist and I'm going to talk about these issues. So I think across the board, they open the door for women on stage to be both, to be a complex human beings who are like, yeah, I'm going to tell some poop jokes, but they're going to be feminist poop jokes and they're still going to be really funny.
Well, and it's like you guys have been saying these jokes. Why can't we say these jokes if we think of them?
Totally. Totally. Why can't we think of these jokes and why can't we be political at the same time? I think.
Do you think straight men comics are feeling any of the pinch of all this sort of forward movement of people of color and women and gays in
the
comedy
as,
world?
As far as pinch, I think sucky straight male comics are feeling the pinch. I think good comics are embracing it and kind of getting in line and being like, yeah, I'm going to carry this mantle too. Like Louis C.K. says amazing things. Like good comics know not to trample on anybody. Like, they don't need to do that.
Right.
The quality comes in the material and
I saw a guy at the Improv when it was in Santa Monica in 91. Scott Capurro got up and killed. And he's one of the first out comics, along with Margot Gomez and Tom Amiano and Karen Ripley and Karen Williams and Leah Delaria, etc. And he got up and killed it and kind of blew the audience away. And the two guys, the straight white guys who got up after him, refer, you know how it is when the comics refer to the person before them?
Mm-hmm.
It means you killed, and they're struggling.
Right.
If they're referring to
they're
your
jokes.
They're
trying to ride on your coattails.
They're trying to ride on your coattails. They're trying to work off your energy.
Yeah.
And they actually got up and said all kinds of uncomfortable things about, they tried to make gay jokes. This is, now everybody makes gay jokes now, but this is 91.
Yeah, so it had a little
and it was interesting to see, oh, huh, so you're feeling it, huh, like, you didn't like that, huh? You're floundering up there because the gay guy did better than you.
Yeah.
You've performed at some of the big festivals. What was Glasgow like?
Oh God, Glasgow is where I had the worst show of my life. It was like a week long. So most of Glasgow, I did like six or seven shows, and six of the shows, fantastic. Glaswegians are lovely people. I lived in Paisley, Scotland when I was a kid for a little bit. Love Scottish people. Was drunk out of my mind every night because after the show they'd be like, let me get you a drink. So awesome time.
Well, my people.
Yeah. Fried foods, whiskey, I'm there. Redheads, double there. But there was this one show that I had that was so awful that I thought about quitting comedy for 6 months after. Just like, it was a crowd where I had to do like 20, 30 minutes. And I went up there, and I had done, like, four shows, so I kind of figured out what worked in Glasgow, what didn't. And I, like, did the stuff that had been killing everywhere else and got nothing. Like, silence. And it was just flop sweat. And finally, at some point, I asked the audience, I was like, what's happened? Like, what's going on? What happened here? And this woman from the crowd goes, it's just that you're talking about being a lesbian, and we just don't really care. Can you talk about something else besides being a lesbian? Which was weird because a lot of my stuff isn't about that. I write a bunch of different stuff. So I was like, okay. And then I tried to do stuff about my family and like, you know, my background and politics, and nothing was hitting. And then
they
like,
had decided you weren't funny.
Yeah, they had decided.
Now, this
I wasn't
is out
funny.
Of all these different shows you've done, and it was the same material almost.
Yeah.
But this audience
just
was not liking you,
liking me at all.
And they'd collectively subconsciously decided not to like you.
Yeah, so it was just staring at a group of faces who were just against it. It was like a war, and I was the only one on my side of the army.
But audiences are like that, you know?
Yeah, sometimes. And then I remember at some point, like towards the end, I'm just sweating, but, you know, I'm like, I'm going to finish out my time. I'm gonna do this. I don't care if I get beat up. And a guy yelled something, and it killed. I don't even know what he yelled because he had such a thick Scottish accent. And it was at that point where I was like,
oh, he took
God.
All the focus. Huh?
Yeah, totally. And it was one of those things that were like, for 6 months after, it didn't matter how a show went. I was like, but that audience knows me.
Oh, that's so sad.
That audience knows that this is just a magic trick. I'm not really funny.
Proving once again how oversensitive all of us are.
We're thin-skinned babies who act like we're the...
Who need attention.
Yeah, totally.
Who are also artists. Thank you very much, people.
We are.
So are you going to go on like the lesbian circuit or the gay circuit? Like, I know Fortune Feimster, she gets on Chelsea Handler, and now she's working all the boat lesbian boat trips.
Well, I have motion sickness, so I won't do boat trips.
Not gonna be the boat rides.
No, I'm not. I've never really
done... Do you
really
see yourself as a gay comic for gay audiences kind of thing?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. I think I straddle a lot of lines. I feel like if I was going to call a scene my home scene, it would be the alternative scene, which even then I feel like that word is just kind of a hodgepodge of a bunch of different things. But yeah, I feel like it's not something my generation needs anymore. We can kind of go into whatever room we need to. And I prefer an audience that it isn't a certain type of audience.
A room full of lesbians laugh? Even your age?
My age, I'm fine. My age usually, you know, of people are hanging out with everybody, so it's not a totally lesbian room.
Just the ones my age don't like us.
Yeah, they push back. They push back a little, but like old school. Like,
what does old school mean? Just like, means old.
Yeah. I'm trying. This is NPR. I'm trying to be PC.
Well, that's over. You've already failed at that after the bit we heard.
Yeah, that's true. No, I don't. I don't really do queer rooms. I do any room that'll have me.
Queer, that's one of the things your generation likes the word queer more than they like the word dyke or lesbian.
Yeah. Well, I self-identify as a dyke. Mm-hmm. I like that word for me, but I think queer just kind of fits the umbrella of everybody.
So you're not going out on the Fortune Feimster cruise, because that's really where, Jason Collins, you know, he's going to be making speeches. So, like, once you come out, then you get to go on the gay circuit and make speeches and make, you know, $10,000 for every appearance kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not for me. I want to do whatever it is I want to do. I don't want to be tied to any sort of box. I don't want to munch on one box. I want to munch on all of them.
Oh, that's not good.
I'm getting us in trouble.
You're in LA. You're going to be like, you're so bad. You're the worst, actually, I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, kind of.
So crazy.
I've had a bunch of them, but you're on the list. You're be in LA. You got management. You got lawyer. You're going to do that audition thing. You're going to do audition for pilots. You're trying to get stuff, writing stuff.
I've gone out for auditions and stuff. Never for a lesbian character. Always a straight girl.
That's weird.
That is weird.
I mean, you're cute, but...
Oh, thanks. I'm like, but it's always like, it's not like I'm certainly not going to get any like banana, banana roles.
Not with
it's
that
always,
bow tie.
No. But it's always like regular gal.
Like the nerd next door.
Yeah, totally.
A nerd.
Totally.
Well, that's a good idea.
A nerd. Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, we wish you the best, Janine.
Thanks so much. Thanks for
having me. It's really fun to finally get you on this radio show. I've been trying for a little bit. And,
yeah.
It here
came
you are.
Together. The stars aligned.
Janine is here in the city. Doing the SF Sketchfest events throughout the weekend. She's also at Doc's Lab, which is the old Purple Onion in North Beach, on Monday night. Please check her out at Janine Brito, B-R-I-T-O. You can follow her at that same name on Twitter. So, Janine Brito, thanks again for being here. It's
Thank
been
you, Marilyn.
A blast.
Yeah, likewise.
Check her out. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. Follow us on Twitter at Out in the Bay. Follow me, Marilyn Pittman. And like us. I don't mean in that Sally Field way. I mean on Facebook. We're 10 years old this year, but it can sometimes feel like 50 when you don't contribute. We rely on you, not this radio station, to pay our bills. So join us. Go to outinthebay.org, hit the Donate Now button, or Donate button. It's tax deductible. We get financial support, however, from Brad Payton and Richard Merck of Portola Valley. They're our donors, and they hope their donation inspires you to go to our website and hit the Donate button now. Also, our new pal, Gia Schultz, put up a new subscribe button on our splash page to keep you up on the latest shows and events. Thanks, Gia. She's at GiaSchultz.com. Thanks to the staff and management of KALW. Joanne Marr is our engineer. Thanks, Joanne. Out in the Bay is produced by Eric Jansen and me. I'm Marilyn Pittman. Thanks for joining me.